Welcome to the Progressing Recruiters Lives Everywhere podcast, brought to you by Amoria Bond. Join us as we talk to our board members and leaders to gain valuable tips, advice, and inspiration for your own professional life. From climbing the career ladder to the evolution of the recruitment industry, we'll cover it all. Within our industry, there are no limits to how far you can progress, and we want to show you how and why working in recruitment could be the best decision for your life and career. I'm Jenny Walsh, Regional Talent Attraction Manager based in Amoria Bond's Manchester office. And in this episode, I'm talking to one of our Managing Directors, Matthew Roebuck. Hi, Matt. Thanks very much for joining me.
Hi, Jenny. Thank you for inviting me to today's podcast. I'm looking forward to it.
Excellent. So to kick us off, could you tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into recruitment?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it was a long time ago now. I've been in recruitment now for 15 years, actually my 15 year anniversary at Amoria Bond in December. Background was typical, went to university, wasn't really sure what I wanted to do after university, studied, and when I finished, I got into sales. I worked for a couple of different companies, got a feel for what I liked and what I didn't like, and I think like many people that joined the recruitment industry, I didn't really know a lot about it before, right? I didn't go to school or university and dream to become a recruitment consultant. I kind of fell into it. I had a friend that joined Amoria Bond about 6 months before me. They gave me an insight into what it was like, how much they was enjoying it. So that kind of prompted my application with Amoria Bond, and I started to look at other recruitment businesses. And rewind 15 years, December 2007, I joined the business, and I guess never really looked back.
What was it that, because you mentioned that you looked at like a few recruitment businesses, what was it that made you join Amoria Bond?
At the time, it was definitely the people that I met. So the owners of the business were young, dynamic, ambitious. They was very clear on the vision. And I think I had a three-stage interview process, and in every meeting that we had, they was very diligent. They asked a lot of questions. They really wanted to get to know me. And it just felt exciting. It felt like it was the start of something that was going to be pretty big. And if I look at some of the other companies that I met at the same time, these were more well-established businesses. They were much bigger organizations where the management style was probably a little bit older, outdated. I probably had a bit of a fear of what the culture might be like and whether or not that would be suited to me. So in the end, I could see that there was three very passionate owner founders that wanted to create a great recruitment business. And that was kind of what we got hooked into Amoria Bond.
So Matt, as you've mentioned, you've been in the industry for 15 years, and I think you'll agree, you know, recruitment has changed a lot over the years. What are some of the biggest changes that you've seen in the industry?
Biggest changes so far, I definitely say in 15 years, and that's just not recruitment. It's not only recruitment industry related, but there's much more technology and automation. So if I rewind back to my first 2 years in recruitment, maybe even three, I don't even think we was using LinkedIn. It was very much a contact sport, a phone-based job. You had to be highly skilled at networking names and getting referrals. And if you didn't do that, you found it difficult to build a market, right? Where we are today is there's much more data readily available, right? Everyone has access to LinkedIn. In Germany, people have access to Xing. Not everyone is on those platforms. So a really good recruiter will be skilled in both. But technology has massively changed, and if I look at some of the smaller aspects of the job, when, let's use an example of searching for candidates. I recall spending half an hour building Boolean searches, you know, on Microsoft Word, right? You know, based on keywords. Now, with a click of a button, you can drop that into an automation tool and they build that for you. There are automation tools that feed your leads into your business. So think definitely from an automation and tech perspective, there's been massive advancement and that feeds in to the recruitment consultant's job. So tech and automation is definitely a big one. Think even now, as we're discussing this podcast, there's a lot more focus on personal brand. In the last 2 years, if you look at, you know, if you're someone that's using LinkedIn daily, you can see that people are posting more content, making sure that they're relevant for the markets that they operate in. It's more of a value-led and thought content-based industry. And when I think back 15 years, actually, it was quite transactional, right? You know, it was find a customer that has a need, develop the need, provide a solution. If you was good at what you did, you would develop the customer and get more business from them. But a lot of the time, it might be moving on to a new customer, a new transaction, and I think that's very different to where we are today. Yeah, I mean, there are far many more recruitment businesses, right? So I don't know exact statistics for Manchester alone, but I recall pre-COVID, someone had told me that there are 2,500 recruitment businesses in Manchester. So that's a lot of noise, right? So you have to be relevant and you have to make sure that the information that you're pushing out to the market, to your candidates, to your customers, to potential hires into your business is adding value to people. The third one that I would like to mention is a bigger focus on health and well-being. I think there's been a massive mindset shift in the industry. There's been a massive mindset shift at Amoria Bond in terms of what support that we provide. But when I joined recruitment 15 years ago, you know, it was kind of work hard, play hard kind of industry, right? You know, work late to fill jobs, coming at the weekend because we didn't have remote working opportunities. And that's completely changed. I'm not saying that you don't need to still work hard to be successful, right? That's the same in any industry, whether or not I decide to set up my own business in a different industry, like a restaurant. If I want to be really good at what I do, then I'm going to have to go the extra mile and put lots of effort in. But what I do think is great is that there's much more focus on people's well-being. So that's making sure that, you know, as a company, we have mental health first aiders to ensure that people have the right support. We have the spa and wellness days that we've rolled out in the last 12 months. In the last management conference that we did in Milan, we had lots of health and well-being activities. We did Pilates, which was really cool, Tai Chi. But overall, the general topic around making sure that there's balance in people's life, I think is really, really important. So the job that we do in recruitment is very heavily knowledge and database, right? And it's not physically difficult. But in terms of the information and the situations that you're put in, then it can impact you emotionally and it can cause stress, right? So I think the education around making sure that people have the right balance, making sure that people eat well, making sure that people do physical activities to help with mindset, I think has been a big change in 15 years. And is a very positive change for the industry as well.
And how do you manage to maintain a good culture despite the growth in the German office?
It's a really good question. Actually, we had to make some, some quite big changes from a cultural perspective. So, firstly, we had to recognize that culturally Germany is different to the UK. I think that's the first important thing to recognize, that there are cultural differences, whether or not that's, you know, people are educated differently, people study for a longer period of time in Germany and probably join the workforce a little bit later than what you would do in the UK. One of the biggest changes, and that's had the highest impact in the last few years, is we set up a culture committee in Germany. So we had feedback that in some of our cultural surveys that maybe there was some frustration around top-down management decisions and choices. And we decided that we would effectively set up a committee in Germany that anyone could join, whether or not you was a trainee or a working student, you just joined the business, right up to management level. No directors, no managing directors involved, 100% German. So there's no influence from anywhere else in the business. And that created a massive shift, actually. And we are, you know, we're a very values led business anyway. So profess is centric to any of our offices. But culturally, by giving decisions to the people in our business around core topics, so CSR, performance and incentives, diversity and inclusion, by giving that decision making to the people in our office, it's had a huge impact. You know, we've had some phenomenal amounts of engagement. We've had some fantastic ideas. And of course, we can't implement everything, right? You know, we can't do that. But it's enabled us to listen to what people want and what people need, and then take a step backwards and look, well, actually, that would be a great idea. So just give a few examples. So if I look at some of the charitable projects that we've done in Germany, Amoria Bond has a charitable trust. We do a lot of fantastic work in Peru. Obviously, you've been out to Peru yourself. But in Germany, people wanted to give back to the local community as well, right? And that's important. So when we had the flood disasters in the Eifel region close to Cologne, one of the ideas from the committee was to get down and use our charity days that we give to people to go and help people, like, repair houses, right? You know, houses were literally wiped away and into the river, and people's whole life was taken away. And we actually did two trips down there where 15 to 20 people gave back to the community to, you know, help repair damage on houses. Right now we've had another natural disaster in Turkey and Syria, right? It's awful, with an earthquake, and hearing of 20,000 plus people that have lost their lives and displaced, and you know, that's massively impacted our Cologne office, because we have a lot of people that have family and friends in that region. And as a business, we're trying to support the cause as much as we can by making donations. But even as an aside to that, you know, we've got people driving projects that are trying to help out, that are taking time off to support people. I saw an email this morning from one of the girls in the office that's basically decided to turn Valentine's Day into giving some love to Syria and Turkey, right? People are going to bring cakes in, bake them, people are going to pay for them. So I think it's really nice to hear that people are doing that. And as a business in Germany, we've been able to make lots of changes, like whether or not that's to how we set up the office and what people want in the office. We've moved into a brand new office in the center of town, one of the biggest recruitment offices in Cologne. Three times bigger than what we previously had. And we've listened to what people want, whether or not that's small things like how we use the space, how we have light, what plants we have in the office to make it feel natural, what coffee machines we have, what water that we have. how we look after the office, how we name the rooms. So all of the rooms have names that are aligned with the city of Cologne, that kind of are linked to certain key places in the city. And that's really nice. And I guess it's another mindset shift, right? You know, I think, if I look at my development as a leader, then in the past, maybe I was taught or learned how to make decisions top down. But this by forming a culture committee in Germany and by getting ideas from different people, it's made me realize that actually people have lots of great ideas that I don't have, or us as a board don't have. And sometimes you hear stuff and you're like, wow, I would have never have thought of that. How great is that idea? And I think that's really empowering. I think that's great, because I think to have a good business or a great business, you know, a leader is only one person, right? It's about having great people around you. And there are so many good ideas that have come off the back of this. And I think we had a good culture before that, right? We've always had a really good culture, but that for me has taken it from having a good culture to a great culture where, you know, people really own stuff, really engage. You know, if I look at the amount of referrals that have come into our business in the last 12 months, you wouldn't refer people into your employer if you wasn't engaged. And we've seen a massive increase in that. And I think a key, if I look at a starting point, then I think a key part was getting feedback from our employees, taking action and setting up the culture committee, and then getting ideas from people and actually taking action on that. And I think that's been great. I think, yeah, culturally, we have, I would say we have a great culture. And if I look at one of the reasons that I've stayed here for 15 years is because of the culture. I know too many people in my personal network that work for companies where there isn't a great culture, where they don't like it. I know too many people that have left Amoria Bond that thought the grass was greener, gone to a different company, and you know, the feedback was like, it's not the same, right? I don't think any company's perfect, right? There's going to be pluses and negatives, but actually culturally, I think Amoria Bond does a lot of things really well. And yeah, I think that's had a real high impact within our business.
Amazing. And you mentioned something earlier with regards to one of the changes around personal branding and making sure you kind of stand out against the rest of the noise, which is some really, really good advice. What other pieces of advice would you give for someone who is just starting out in recruitment?
I think before you start in recruitment, I would encourage to try before you buy. So in Germany, we have internships in recruitment, where people get to come in and work for our business. We take on working students, and it's a great opportunity to actually experience what the job is, right? I think speak to people before you join the industry. Speak to people that work in recruitment. LinkedIn, there's a massive pool of people there, right? So you can talk to people in the industry. But if you commit to joining recruitment and starting within the industry, I think there's a couple of key things that I would say. So number one is be open-minded. I think especially at Amoria Bond, we teach a process that is very successful. It's a process that we constantly evolved over the last 15 years. And the process helps people get to where they want to be. It's a bit like when you go to the gym and you do a class, or you hire a personal trainer, right? If you hire a personal trainer, they're going to give you clear steps around your diet, and they're going to give you clear steps on your gym routine. So I would say be open-minded to follow a process that you might not necessarily know already. I definitely think people need a growth mindset to be in this industry. I think in general, a growth mindset is going to help you in whatever you do. So if you're someone that enjoys learning new things, if you're someone that enjoys implementing new things or trying new things, then I think recruitment is it's a great industry for you to work in. And I guess the final thing would be related to the balance topic. So I've worked with a lot of people over the years that come into the industry and put so much pressure on themselves to be successful and, you know, give it 100%, but then don't necessarily think about what they're doing outside of work. Are they investing enough time in health and well-being? Are they investing enough time in family and personal relationships? And if you just focus 100% on career and recruitment, I think especially in the first 6 to 12 months, if you don't get the success that you think you would get or expect, then, you know, 9 times out of 10, that kind of leads to burnout or people leaving the industry or going to a different company. So I think making sure that you have the right balance in your personal life and that you're making sure, you know, 1 or 2 times a week that you're investing time in personal relationships, right? It's not just about career. Right. Career can be very important to people, but it's also important to have the right things going on outside of your career, because they're completely interlinked. And if it's not right outside, then it impacts your career. And if it's not right in your career, then it impacts outside. So I think that would be my kind of key takeaways for someone that's looking to join the recruitment industry.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really refreshing and healthy advice as well, because like you say, when you come into something like this, it's easy to have such high standards for yourself, like you say, putting pressure on yourself, comparing yourself to others as well. So having that step back to think about your mental well-being is really important. And obviously throughout your 15 years, you've seen a lot of success and a lot of progression. So I'm sure there's probably plenty of these moments, but what would you say has been your proudest moment as a leader so far?
It's actually making it successfully as a leader. Because if I think back to when I got into leadership, I probably wasn't a leader. I was a manager. My communication was awful. My management style was awful. And I remember like the first few people that I hired that, you know, left my team. And I remember my own internal frustration, actually. I remember thinking when I was trying to teach something to somebody, I remember thinking, why don't they do it in the same way as me? And it was a real mental block for me. I was kind of like, It's a simple process to follow. Why are you not following the process? Why are you doing it differently? And I just couldn't get past it. It was a block. I'm a very rational kind of process, numbers based person, right? And it was through Amoria Bond investing in my personal development and me learning that people have different personalities. They learn in different ways. They need to be communicated to in different ways. It was a huge, huge change. But I remember getting to a point where I was like, I can't be a leader. It's not me. I'm not right for this job, right? You know. And I remember having conversations with my boss of like, I think it's time to take a step backwards. People are leaving my team. And I can't understand the reasons why. So I have to laugh sometimes, because obviously I've been based out in Germany now for the last 8 years, and the people in Germany never saw that management style. They didn't see that communication. So I have people that are stepping into leadership roles now that come to me and say, how do you do it? You know, they have the same problems that I had, where it was like, I'm really frustrated because this person isn't implementing, or they're not listening, or they're not making notes. And It doesn't just happen overnight, right? You have to constantly invest in your own learning and development, and you have to constantly have this growth mindset. And if you don't have that growth mindset and you're not willing to make changes, then that isn't going to work. There's one thing that stuck out to me on one of the courses that we did, and it was related to some of the insights tests that we use and we get people to do before they join the business. And we use insights to understand the person's personality and how they learn best. And I remember the trainer at the time said to me, "You teach people how to communicate to you, right? So the way that you communicate to them is how they're going to communicate backwards. And the onus is on the leader to adapt the communication style and adapt how they teach things so that the individual can learn in the right way." And so for me, when people come to me now in Germany specifically, and they give me positive feedback and say, "Look, Matt, you know, you handled this situation really well. Thanks for helping me. I was really stressed and you've calmed me down and you've helped me to see it differently. And it's not as bad as what I first thought." That for me is great. It's recognition of the fact that I had a personal challenge or a personal development area that I worked on, and it's something that I've kind of developed really well. And now stepping back into Manchester with some of the people that was here when I managed here was like, I remember what you used to be like, right? I remember how you used to communicate, how you used to manage. And so for me, actually getting positive feedback from people in leadership is just recognition for what I've done. And, you know, that's what makes me feel good. That what makes me feel nice. I can go home in the evening and feel satisfied that I'm doing a good job and people know that I care about them, and I'm trying to create the best environment for them to work in, and I'm trying to support and develop them. So, yeah.
And you can then also go on and help them with similar challenges by the sounds of it as well, which is, yeah, really great. So not only is it your own development, it's helping the development of others facing similar challenges.
Yeah. They're going through the same challenges now that I went through. And once they've got through that and helped themselves progress and develop, then they're going to have stepping into leaders that kind of work for them that are going to go through the same challenges. And that's a really good thing about recruitment, and specifically Amoria Bond, where we're focusing on progressing people's lives and we have a heavy focus on learning and development. You know, it's a key part of our culture. It's really, really great, right? You know, if I think about the mindset that I had as a, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, it's completely different to where I am today. And it's good to see, you know, the change and look backwards and be like, wow, I remember having this mental block that I never thought I could get past. And because my employer invested in me and because I was open to learning and changing, I've got different results, which is, it's great.
Awesome. And last but not least, what do you see as the future of recruitment, and what steps are you taking to stay ahead of the curve?
Yeah, sure. I think if you look at the recruitment industry and how it's changed and how Amoria Bond has changed, I definitely think it's about being a niche recruitment specialist. So when I started out in recruitment, my market or the market that I was building was engineering. And we've really evolved that over time. And I see that for us to really add value in the STEM markets, then we need to be specialist niche recruiters. So I have a look at the teams that I manage right now. We're focusing on electronics development that covers the whole, you know, software systems, hardware life cycles. We're helping advanced engineering companies across multiple industries, really very future forward facing, technology based. And then we're looking, you know, we have teams of specialists in the renewable energy sector. So I think the recruitment industry or being successful in recruitment is about making sure that you're a niche specialist, that you really know your market, how to add value, the challenges in the market, you know what challenges your customers are facing, whether or not that's related to legislation changes or logistical problems or macroeconomic issues. I think that's really important. So from our perspective, one of our key strategies moving forward is doubling down on the markets that we have. If I look at the teams that we've got in Germany right now, in the last 12 months, we've doubled the number of consultants on electronics development, and we've mapped out the market to take that to 50 plus people in Germany on electronics development, so that we can be seen as a true partner within that industry, 100%. And it then also feeds into the personal branding topics as well, right? So Amoria Bonds announcing or holding round table events where we have guest speakers, podcasts, making sure that we're really adding value to the industry and that our customers know that we're a partner within that sector. So I think that's really important, and that's the way that the industry is going. I think that anyone that is a general recruitment business is going to find it challenging. The second one that I'd say is very much relationship led. So what I mean by that is really getting close to customers and candidates, and making yourself stand out against the competition, and developing close relationships. During COVID, the positive of COVID was that digitalization sped up, right? So we shifted to video meetings pretty quickly. It became the new norm. But, are you really going to build relationships off a video call? Are you really going to harvest a relationship? Are you going to get through a rocky period of a relationship on a video call? No, you're not. So for us, it's about really getting close to our customers and our candidates and getting out to meet them in person again, making sure that we can support them in the right way. And one of the strategies that we've implemented in Germany is moving away from a traditional 360 degree recruiter that focuses on business development, managing the client, finding candidates, and managing the candidate relationships is to split out the role. And that's been a very successful transition in the last 12 to 18 months. We've got a number of candidate consultants that have helped us achieve significant growth. We actually invested in a key account management course. So we had a company come in from Munich to deliver a 3-month program to help train and develop a select group of people. And actually just yesterday, we had that core group of people present back their business plan on how Amoria Bond in Germany can implement key account management. So how can we move from placing 5 to 10 people every year with one customer to taking it to 20 to 30 to 50 and really becoming a true partner to businesses and really supporting them, whether or not that's on finding permanent candidates in the business, supplying interim solutions, delivering insights into the business, making sure that they understand what's happening in the market, temporary solutions. So I think that's a really important strategic topic moving forward. And I genuinely believe that if you're working in the recruitment industry and you're a niche specialist that's very relationship led, and you invest in that, then I think you'd be very successful in the industry. And of course, that takes constant work, right? Just because you're working with a company as a partner for 5 years and you've made 50 placements doesn't mean you'll be the partner for the next 5 years, right? It's you have to work on relationship. It's like a personal relationship, right? Having a partner or being married, then we all go through challenges and it's difficult. It gets difficult, right? Customers won't always be happy with our service. Candidates will resign during the probationary period. And to really be a partner, you've got to continually invest in that relationship and accept when you're in the wrong and when you've made mistakes and make sure that you're ready to find solutions. So I see that as a key part of Amoria Bond's growth and involvement. I think we do a lot of really good things as a business and we have a lot of great relationships, but I think we have lots of opportunity to move our business to the next level, to really have significant key accounts and even, you know, moving into the RPO field of really managing full recruitment processes for businesses. And that's really exciting because we're working with some very large organizations. You know, I look at some of the companies that we supply in Germany that are anywhere between 5 to 50,000 people globally. That's massive opportunity for our business. And it also supports the growth in the future. If we as a company have more key accounts and customers that we work with as partners, then it means that we can double down on the people that we hire. We can hire more 180 degree candidate consultants, more active sources. So I think that, you know, there's some of the key things that we're trying to work on in the German market. And in general, I think they're really high value activities for anyone that's working in the recruitment sector.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Thanks very much for that, Matt. That's all the time we've got for today. But yeah, thank you so much for sharing your insights and experiences with us. And it's been great to have you.
No problem. Thank you very much for your time, Jenny. It was great to speak.
No worries. And if anyone listening is looking to start a career in recruitment or you want to learn more about the industry, be sure to check out amoriabond.com.